the glass and left corner to Aguilla. Aguilla to left circle. Passing to Yell. A shot. Save made by all. Aguilla. Rebound. Another shot. They score! The Flames win it! Yeah, baby!
They score!
And the sea of red erupts.
Flames talk starts now on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Here's Pat Steinberg and Wes Gilbertson.
Blake Coleman's flow is on point. Blake joins us now on the Hot Stove Lounge. How are we doing?
Good. Yeah, doing good. Just thawing out from the golf event today, but doing good.
It didn't feel like Texas out there today.
No. I don't know if I'm just soft because I'm from the south or if it was actually chilly out there, but I've heard some other people complain, so
okay.
I don't think I'm alone.
How'd you shoot?
I shot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what?
Wasn't my best, but
appreciate the honesty.
I was off this summer. I didn't get a lot of golf in with the kids, so I'm just working off some rust.
Family of five, three kids now. Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
Things are good at home.
Things are good. Yeah, I leave the house to go rest now, but it's good. We are enjoying it. The kids are having a lot of fun, and it's good to be back.
Do you do most of your training at home, or do you leave for that?
No, I used to, and now I just can't get anything done, so I go into the gym. And,
okay.
Obviously you skate outside the house, but I used to do my workouts at home, and now I can't get through 10 minutes without somebody coming in and needing something, so I kind of stopped that this summer.
Okay, that makes sense. Before we dive in on the hockey stuff, I know that it's been a tough week, a tough 10, 11 days here, and I know that you were in Pennsylvania yesterday. Just how are you doing? How's the group doing with how difficult this last week and a half has been?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that keeps hitting you in waves. You know, you kind of forget it's real, and then it comes back, and you're like, yeah, I guess it's true. And, it's sad. It's sad. It puts life in perspective. It's such a good person and family man and friend that we lost, and it affected our household really deeply, and it definitely affected a lot of people throughout the world, which is really pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That his legacy is so wide reaching at the age of 31, and but it just speaks to how loved he was and what a great person he was, and like I said, it just makes you want to focus in your life about being better and making the most of every day and don't take anything for granted. So, that's been our house's focus from this.
How big was it to, whether it was yesterday or even getting back here today and being around the guys, being around current teammates, former teammates, all that, just that sense of community, how important has that been even just on a personal level?
Yeah, well, I think in times like this, that's where friends and family and your closest people, get you through and provide some comfort and some strength. And, even being at the funeral and catching up with old teammates and telling stories and, finding a way to laugh in such a difficult time, is what gets you through these things. And, it's no secret. I spend a ton of time with my family and
yeah,
my family's everything to me. And, and I have my family at the house that I get that strength from, and I also have my teammates and friends that I've, been fortunate to meet and play with over the years, and it's those guys that get you through stuff like this, and it'd be really tough to go through this alone.
You find that as now you're back in Calgary and training camp's a week away and captain skates are going full bore and all that type of stuff, find that's a real good distraction mentally? Like, has that been kind of cathartic, therapeutic for you?
Well, we came back on Friday, so I'll start skating tomorrow.
Okay.
But, just skating in general for me is therapy. It's just one of those few things in life that, when you get on the ice and you don't have your phone or any sort of distractions and you're just out doing what you love and you're with your buddies, just kind of forget everything that's going on in the world. And even if you're, dying out there and you're bagging yourself, it's just, you're just in your own world and you're with your friends and you're grinding through it together. And, so, it's basically just free therapy and,
yeah,
you know, we enjoy having each other's company and going through that.
So now that everybody's back and a big team event today, what's the overall feel? I heard you talk this morning a little bit. What's the overall feel, the overall buzz around this group entering the season?
Well, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of unknowns, and I think, I find that pretty exciting. I think, you know, I think from the media perspective and the outside world, there's not much expectation for this team, and, you know, from inside our room, you know, we know that we have a lot of high character guys and guys that understand how to work and compete, and, you know, this league it's such a thin margin to be good and to be bad in this league, and you know, ultimately it usually comes down to the camaraderie in the room and the work ethic versus the talent you have on paper and things like that. So, you know, I've been part of teams that underachieved and I've been part of teams that overachieved based off expectations. And, I think that's the beauty of this year is the pressure's not really on. And I think that, you know, if you use it the right way, guys can have a lot of fun with it and rally around that you know, give the fans something to be excited about.
Blake Coleman's with us here in the Hot Stove Lounge, Wes.
You talk about, you know, the importance of high character guys in the room. Like, I know you're a guy who spends time thinking about leading and thinking about what to say. What is the importance of the leadership group here as you guys get ready for this season?
Well, you just bring guys along. I think, you know, the first and foremost thing for our group is you got to lead by example right out of camp. You know, it's guys, we've got guys that have won cups, that have had successful careers, successful seasons, achievements. And, you know, you got to find a way to dig to be at that peak level that you've had in your career and bring that to our team this year. And there's so many, you know, new faces and young guys that can look to that example and pull the best out of themselves. And, to me, it's exciting. I would imagine all those guys are excited to compete for spots and compete for ice time and roles. And, you know, and that young energy and excitement and competition is what continues to make the team get better and make guys like myself continue to work harder and grow and want to show them the right way to be a pro.
Understanding that personal stuff, personal achievements are always sort of secondary. You know, you come off what was a really good statistical season. I think the roof almost came off this place when you got yeah. to 30. When you go home and knowing you had a lot on your plate with the growing family, but you go home and you sort of digest a career best season and start to look ahead. What's the key to kind of continuing that momentum?
Well, it's already started. You know, I think it started a couple months ago with training, and you know, you got to give yourself the best chance to be successful right away and have a good start. And I feel really good about the off season that I've had and put in a lot of time and effort, and was able to have some minor work done early in the off season and rest a little bit. So, you know, I use the time the right way, and I feel good about where I'm at. And you know, ultimately I feel like that was the standard for me versus an outlier. I know that when you look at the course of my career, it may look like a statistical outlier, but there were some shortened seasons in there and things like that.
Yeah.
I would have been on that pace, and I feel like that's the pace I should be on most seasons. So, you know, I try not to focus on the outcomes and the points themselves and just how I'm contributing as a player. And, you know, I've always said it's my goal to be on the plus side of goals for the team on a given night. You know, I need to be on for more than I'm against, and that's really all I care about. And, you know, it starts with being in shape and being ready, and I feel like I am, so I'm excited.
Yeah, I guess that the 21 goal season in Jersey, that was a shortened year, so you're probably on a 30 goal pace that year. So you feel like this is a year where you can continue to be one of the offensive drivers. We know what you do in the two-way game, but also in kind of a primary offensive driver, you put that on your shoulders again coming into the season?
Yeah, I mean, it's my expectation. I expect to play a lot and to contribute and be in multiple situations. if you look at the ways I score, it's kind of spread across the board as far as shorthanded, maybe a few power play, maybe some, you know, five-on-five, some just different ways to get on the sheet, and that just means I'm contributing in different areas of the game, and that's kind of my goal is to be a well-rounded player and someone that can poke at any moment of a game and trust to throw me out there and make a difference for us. And like I said, if I'm focusing on the process and doing things the right way, then the goals typically just follow.
I know one of the things that, you know, Wes and I talked about last year, and I think it was something that Wes brought up on the show that you had told him in one of your chats. There was some ribbing about the empty net goals last year, but, you know, one of the things that you said that I think is really important to point out is that you don't score empty net goals unless you're being counted on to be protecting a one-goal lead late in the game, which that comes down to you. There's another way you impact the game. Empty net goal or not, you're out there trying to shut down and close out a hockey game, right?
Yeah, ultimately at the end of the day, you're there to win, and that's just another component. You know, scoring an empty net just means that we've kept it out of ours and done our job. So, you know, it doesn't matter who scores it, obviously. It's just you want to be able to put games away. And, you know, the only reason you're scoring empty nets is if you're winning. So that's a good sign if you are getting those. And it means the team's finding ways to win. You know, unfortunately, not enough last year. But just one of those things that, you know, you want to be a guy that, like I said, the coach is poking you in the shoulder to go and close out a game for the team and know that you're going to do your job and do it well.
You'll hit 600 games this year in the NHL. You know, there's a lot of talk, and even Craig Conroy made this message very clear today about how important the veterans on this team are going to be and how important it's going to be for you and Bax and Nazem and so on and so forth to really help build a culture with this group. How much, you know, even for you personally, how much do you embrace that challenge of being part of something and building a real strong culture going forward?
Well, it's a good opportunity to leave our stamp on the city and on the team. And, you know, Connie's been really great. He's very upfront and he's very honest about, you know, how he feels, you know, about guys and where you stand with him and the team. And, you know, I've been very clear that I enjoy being a Flame and I want to be part of the solution. And the good news is we have the guys that we have in the room right now are all guys that want to be part of the solution and want to be here and want to make this franchise better. And then we got the young kids that are hungry and ready to make a difference. So I think that combination could be really, really dangerous.
I'm going to be asking you to repeat yourself here, but I think it's really important because you talked earlier today, you know, you've talked at various times about sort of viewing the city of Calgary from afar in the past week and change and maybe what that's made you feel or think about this city that you call home for so much of the year. Would you mind just repeating that for us?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've always enjoyed being in this city and, you know, the people have been very nice and they love hockey and they love their Flames. And, you know, I didn't have a lot of bad things to say to begin with about the city. We've really enjoyed being here. But I've definitely become even more proud of the community and the people over the last week and a half, just the response and outpouring over, you know, the loss of a good person and a friend of mine. And, you know, I think, you know, I touched on it this morning a little bit, but there were definitely reasons for people to be upset about the way things ended with Johnny here. And, you know, selfishly, I wish he was still here and we were still, you know, making deep runs the last couple of years. You know, unfortunately we didn't have that opportunity. And, but you know, I always respected his decision, and, just seeing the people of Calgary, clearly felt the same way and really put person over player. I found that really moving and watching everyone come together, you know, with the vigil and the memorials around town and jerseys hanging in windows. And you can just tell people are just very genuinely good people here. And for somebody like myself and my wife, you know, just going on walks and seeing that stuff, it makes you emotional and it uplifts you a little bit. Just seeing how special he was because he meant a lot to us as well.
Blake, just a final thought. You know, you'll turn 33 in November. Just physically, you talked a little bit about a procedure you had done, and you talked a little bit about the, you know, the kind of the expectations for you. But one of the things I remember you said when you signed here, the two things that stuck out to me, number one was touching on, kind of building on that, where you talked about, hey, this is a place where you want to put down roots, and a place that you and your wife Jordan did a lot of jobs, a lot of research on, in terms of a place to build a family and build a future. And the other thing was you talked about how, hey, you know, because I was a little bit of a late bloomer, maybe a few less miles on the chassis than other guys at the age of 29, 30, 31 might be. As you sit here and turn 33 in a couple months, just what does that feel like? How does the chassis feel?
I'm like Benjamin Button, man. I just keep getting younger. I feel good. You know, I take really good care of myself, and you know, I understand that each year that becomes more and more valuable and important to your career, to eat the right way and get the right rest. And as much as my kids want to challenge me on the resting part, it's built into me. So I've, you know, I feel good. I've been able to get, you know, like I said, I think it's always disappointing missing playoffs, and I'm definitely ready to get back, but I've used the last couple off seasons to really take care of some stuff that had lingered, and will give me a chance to continue to be a better player in this league, for time to come. And some guys don't get that opportunity, and it can really start to wear on their performance for the team. So, I do feel good about that, and I'm excited, because when I am healthy, I feel like I can be a big time difference maker for us.
Thank you, Blake. Really appreciate the time. Good to see you.
Yep. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.